During the summer, many churches use the opportunity of these months of holiday to engage in outreach in their communities, and many of them among children. And I thought this evening it would be good for us to think about this particular theme of children and the kingdom of God. Many of our own members have already been involved in some forms of outreach like this, camps, missions, holiday Bible clubs, and so on. And this is a great encouragement and a great opportunity. And we look forward, Lord willing, this coming week to having that opportunity in the holiday Bible club connected with the congregation. So we want to think then tonight of this theme of children and the kingdom. And some simple but important points that arise out of that. We've read two passages in Scripture where the emphasis is on children. There are others, of course, and there are, as well as that, given to us in the Bible, the stories of young children and young people who have been used in the kingdom of God. Think about the young maid, you remember, in the days of Elisha. Other people, David himself as a young boy, and so on. There are many instances. And so it's good for us to think about children and the kingdom. First of all, we notice that children must be valued. The disciples should have been pleased and encouraged. Here were parents who clearly had faith in Jesus and were concerned for their children, and they purposely brought them to the Savior that they might receive blessing. Here are parents with the right priority for their children. Their priority is the spiritual well-being of their family. Many don't have that as their priority. They're certainly concerned about their children. They would like them to do well academically, in terms of career. They'd like them to do well materially, and so on. But here were parents who had the right priority. They wanted their children to experience blessing and the Lord's grace to come and rest upon them powerfully. The disciples should have been encouraged, but they weren't. Far from it. Their attitude in seeing these parents bringing their children was quite different. They rebuked them. They put a barrier in the way. They raised an obstacle to these parents doing such a good thing. Why would they do that? Why would disciples put an obstacle in the way of parents bringing their children to the Lord? Perhaps it was that the disciples at this point were thinking culturally rather than biblically. Because in the culture, children were not seen really to have very much worth. Young children were given no standing in society. And the disciples may have been affected by the cultural values of their society. In much the same way that we can be without really being aware of it in certain instances and certain areas of life. They assumed that the master should not be asked to spend valuable time dealing with children. There were more important things, more pressing, urgent, valuable things, more kingdom things to be done. And the people who brought the children were needlessly distracting the Lord from the real work of the kingdom. Surely that work can't involve children. But Jesus rebukes and corrects the disciples. Jesus called the children to him. But in Mark's Gospel, we're told that the Lord was indignant at the attitude of his disciples. Sinclair Ferguson makes an interesting point. He says that by dismissing the children as unimportant, the disciples were misrepresenting the character of God. They were saying to these parents, "This is what the Lord is like. He doesn't have time for children or for your concerns for them." No wonder the disciples received such a rebuke from the Lord. Because children are to be valued for themselves. Jesus speaks here to children and about children. They are persons in their own right, worthy of time and attention. Too often in society, children are exploited. There are many sad stories, aren't there? Many sad contemporary stories of how children are misused and exploited. But that's been the case historically as well. Until godly men expose and correct the mistreatment of children, Lord Shaftesbury, motivated by biblical principles, motivated by a godly heart, exposed the shameful way in which factory owners and mine owners were exploiting child labour. How men were forcing young boys to climb up the inside of chimneys to brush down the soot. Dr. Bernardo, another believing man, worked tirelessly to help the children living rough on the streets. Men who understood that children are to be valued for themselves. And we know they're to be valued because we've just been singing about that. They are valued because of creation. You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The life of the child is God-given, planned indeed. How that child would look, what gifts he would have, valued even before birth, and a value to be recognized from the moment of birth. The word used here, there are two Greek words in this passage within these few verses, two different Greek words, but one of them means little babies, babes in arms. The other one can mean that, but it can be wider in the age range which it embraces. Children are to be valued because of creation. And children are to be valued because of the kingdom. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this particular incident. And each records how Jesus spoke about the children. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That sounds arresting. Clearly, that cannot mean that all children born into the world are innocent of any wrong and therefore are citizens of the kingdom. It cannot mean that, because David, he describes himself as a sinner from birth. We aren't innocent when we're born. We're born as sinners. It isn't that we become sinners someday when we reach a stage where we can understand and are responsible for our actions. We are sinners from birth. And yet our Lord looks on those young children who are there before him, some of them babes in arms, some of them probably little toddlers, and he says, "Of such is the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The kingdom is for them. What an encouragement for these believing parents They have come because they believe in the Lord. It isn't that they're being superstitious or something, because otherwise they would have received a rebuke. They're coming with a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus, and they're bringing their children to him for his blessing upon their lives. What an encouragement they are given. To such belongs the kingdom. As they return home, won't these parents reflect on the words of the Lord? Wouldn't it move them to grateful, believing prayer, what they've just been told? Wouldn't it encourage these parents to train up their children and pray for them, and to look with godly humility and expectation for grace to work in their lives? And surely these parents will never forget this day. How could they? How could they? And they will be able to tell their children, "When you were very young, we brought you to the Savior, and he blessed you. You must trust him and love him." And in a way, Christian parents still and can do that, bringing their children to the Savior to seek his blessing upon them. They know that what their children need most is the grace and the blessing of Christ. They bring their children and dedicate them to the Savior. One of the searching vows which parents take when a child is brought to baptism is this vow: "Do you dedicate your child to God? Do you give him over? Do you commit him?" Seeking God's work of grace in his life, seeking God's blessing on him. Children are valuable in creation, in the kingdom. William Hendrickson says how frequently the presence of children around the Lord and his love for them is mentioned in the Gospels. That's not insignificant, sure it isn't. Feeding of the 5,000, we're specifically told children were there. When Jesus wanted to teach a lesson about humility, there in the gathering or in the group around, there was a child nearby, maybe more. And this little child was used to teach, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom." Here's what greatness means: it's being humble. Children are to be valued. That's a simple point, but it's something to keep in mind for us. Do we look on children as valuable? Is that how we treat them? Do we take a deep interest in them? Do we talk to them? Do we know their names? Do we pray for them? One of the other good vows, searching vows, I think, that's used at a time of baptism is the one that's addressed to all of us. "Do you seek by example and precept to encourage this child to walk in the ways of the Lord?" Children are to be valued. Secondly, children should be taught. Who would deny that? From the moment they are able to grasp anything, we teach our children about life, about diet, about manners, about road safety, about all sorts of things. But spiritually, children need to